The Behind the Bets podcast with Doug Kazarian is presented by DraftKings. Download the app for free today.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you. This is Behind the Bets.
Welcome into the latest Behind the Bets podcast. I am Doug Kazarian. We are taping this on Tax Day, April 15th, Wednesday. And I say those details because we're never really sure what day it is exactly in this current coronavirus pandemic. Travis, I guess our viewers aren't really affected because we are always on the audio format, but we don't have each other in the booth, in the taping booth, so that's no good.
Yeah, instead I'm recording this from my living room right now on my laptop.
Well, I'm wearing glasses, so no contacts. I have a Fu Manchu that I think I'm going to shave before the next taping. I grew a beard out, had that on some Daily Wager segments we taped, and then just shaved shaved everything but the old Johnny Cakes from Sopranos and left that up for a few days. I don't like it, but I kind of like it because it's so ugly.
At the beginning of this, I was like, let me try to grow a beard because I never really did. It just got way too itchy, and I've shaved like two or three times since then, but my hair is long. I'm in dire needs of a fade right now.
Well, I highly recommend messing around with it. It's something that I, having done it myself, I'm kind of confused why more people don't do it who aren't on television, right? Like if I'm like a 28-year-old like programmer or whatever, I'm messing around with my hair, my facial. I think it's fun to do. It's something I had never done, so this is a new territory for me. But anyways, we got a little sidetracked there, but so I did reference Daily Wager content. So we are obviously not on linear TV, which is ESPN2, our normal time slot. However, we are publishing a couple shows a week on YouTube, and you can find those links on our Twitter feed. When I say our, it's me and some of the other guys on the show. However, we wanted to try something different on the Behind the Bets podcast umbrella and post the audio of a fun clip and segment we just did the other day. It's me, Preston Johnson, Chris Felica, the Bear, and also Joe Fortenbaugh talking about our favorite plays in college football in terms of Power 5 win totals and Power 5 futures. So we are hopeful the college football season is going to come this fall, and our best plays. So we have season win totals and some nice dialogue. So I figured it was a good content that I wanted you guys to have. And next week we will do NFL draft props. We are targeting Monday morning for that pod. And then, of course, the draft is a week from Thursday. It's still going on, albeit in a virtual format. But, Travis, we don't have a lot of sports, but off-season in football, both college and NFL, and off-season in terms of the NFL draft is something that does feel regular.
Yeah, like, listen, you know, the win totals for college football, any sort of content with college football, I'm all in on it. And the draft, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it goes down. And, you know, the betting for that angle is still there. Like, the picks are still going to be made, so you can still make those bets and you can make a little money.
We won't get the bro hugs on stage with Roger Goodell and the draftees, but it will still feel like familiar territory for bettors because everything except for that has been very unfamiliar. And we talked about it with David Purdom on last week's podcast. I encourage everyone to go check out The Daily with Mina Kimes. I was her guest that posted Tuesday, April 14th, and then a companion piece on ESPN.com. I have a feature piece on Chalk. The Chalk section, just kind of detailing what the books are doing right now, both in the U.S., the 17 legal states, and also the offshore world. And it's getting pretty funky, again, as I detailed with Purdom last week. So I encourage everyone to go check that out. Clearly, you have a lot more downtime than normally. So go enjoy that and enjoy this Daily Wager segment here on the Behind the Bets podcast.
Stop. Hammer time.
Welcome into another digital version of Daily Wager. I am Doug Kazarian. It's been a little bit since we've been on air, but since then, Caesars Sportsbook has posted college football futures. We're going to dive into that. We got the Bear back with us, Preston Johnson and Joe Fortenbaugh. Joe, I'm almost clean shaven.
I like it, Doug. I like it. Sons of Anarchy may be off the air, but the legacy lives on. You fit right in with Sam Crow, my man. You got to keep that going.
I don't know if I'm going to keep going, but I was convinced by you and a lot of the other people on the show to at least leave it for this show. I might have a photo shoot, like a fireman photo shoot once the weather improves. But Preston, I couldn't let you be the only guy rocking the facial hair.
I like it, man. You keep it as long as you want.
All right. So coming up on the show, and I appreciate the seal of approval. Power 5 conference title odds, Power 5 win totals, and our best bets, essentially our best play from the Power 5. We'll start with the SEC. No surprise, Alabama is the favorite. And I say that because we know that LSU lost so much with Joe Burrow, the Heisman Trophy winner, going on to the NFL draft, and both coordinators. Bama loses Tua, but Nick Saban reloading figures, but a little tight there. Georgia and Florida right there, and Auburn in the mix, and Texas A&M even at 10-1. Bear, I'll start with you. It's a lot of turnover, like there is always in college football, but certainly here at the SEC, what stands out to you?
I think Georgia to win the SEC at like the plus 350, 72, somewhere around there. That would be the way that I would lean right now. I think Georgia's a team that they have an early season game at Alabama, but even if they were to lose that game, you're still looking at Georgia with the situation where essentially all they would have to do is beat the Gators in the cocktail party. You hold the head-to-head tiebreak with Florida, and you go back to the SEC championship game with a chance to avenge that loss to the Tide or A&M or LSU or Auburn or whoever ultimately is coming out of the West. But I like Georgia this year.
All right, good stuff as well. Joe, if your life depended on it, who would you pick to win the SEC? And then also with the odds involved, who would you take?
God, that got serious. I thought this was going to be a light college football conversation. All of a sudden, my life's on the line. Well, if my life's on the line, you probably all of a sudden have me thinking Nick Saban in Alabama. But I see it similar to Bear, where I've got Georgia and Florida kind of even. So if Florida's coming at 4-1 and Georgia's at plus 350, I'll take the Gators. You look at the schedule, LSU's a home game, and they're not going to be nearly as daunting as they were last season. You got the Georgia game, which is the neutral site, and then Tennessee on the road in September. It's going to be a better team this year. You got to watch out. But other than that, really like the setup. This is a team that went to LSU last year. They lost by 14, but LSU put a little bit on them late. That was coming off an Auburn win. That was the spot where they should have gotten smacked, and they still hung really tight with the eventual champ. So I'm going to look to the Gators right now at 4-1, Doug.
I would actually consider a flyer. I know it's ridiculous, but Ole Miss at 200-1. I like Plumlee, the quarterback. Last year they had 5 losses by 1 score. They get Auburn and Bama both at home. They're at LSU. Look, a conference, they could win the conference there at SEC West. Again, 200-1 is what it interests me. Let's look at win totals, sort of more isolated opportunities here on the betting market, given that Alabama is the favorite to win the conference at plus $1.25. No surprise, they have the highest win total at 10.5. The juice is always so important when we talk NFL and college football season win totals, given the short number of games in a season. Florida and Georgia each at 10. LSU, the defending champs, who went undefeated, 9. That means they would have to have 4 losses to lose an over bet. Tennessee's interesting, given that they have 4 really tough games on the schedule. They could lose all of them. They'll likely be a dog in all of them. So these are always interesting. Preston, you've talked about how you haven't done all your modeling in various sports. In terms of the season win totals, what sort of stands out to you here?
I put some time in over the weekend, though. I have some very early preliminary numbers and projections on most of the teams and schools now. This LSU one's interesting. I know you guys wanted to get into them a little bit. I have my projection just over 9, so I actually think 9's fair when you're looking at it. I've tried to be cautious with how much they might lose and drop. You mentioned the coordinators. They also are going to be losing. Where's their offense going to go? And that's ultimately the question. They're going to be fine defensively, I think. You mentioned the schedules on all these, and this is one you have to mention. They play Texas out of conference. Then they have to play Florida on the road out of the East, who they get this season. And they still have to play Alabama and then Auburn and A&M on the road. I think 9's probably the most common result for LSU.
You want to talk about Arkansas as well, Preston. Not a school I had circled on my calendar, but again, we've talked about all tickets cash the same.
This one's pretty much schedule driven, and I know Arkansas was really bad. You know, they got crushed at home by Colorado State last year. They have a new coach, Sam Pittman, who had been with Kirby Smart at Georgia as an assistant for the last 4 seasons. But ultimately, when it's 3.5, the over is juiced minus 105. So this is almost like a 50-50 proposition. Are they going to win 4 or more games, or are they going to win three or fewer? And for me, they have three very likely wins out of conference. They get Nevada, Charleston Southern, and UL Monroe. So the question is, can they win one SEC game? And with Felipe Franks, former Florida quarterback who got injured last year, which is why the backups come in and take over, he's transferred to Arkansas now. He's going to be able to play. I think he can find a way to win one SEC game for Arkansas. And when it's all said and done, there are three games I project them to be a round pick or slight underdog that are very winnable opportunities. So for me, four more wins for Arkansas. I think it happens more often than three or fewer, so I like the over there.
Let's talk about other conferences. We go to the ACC, and all conversations with this conference start with Clemson, an overwhelming favorite last year to win the conference, which they did for the fifth straight year. The Tigers are minus 600. Trevor Lawrence is back. Travis Etienne is back. No turnover with the coaching staff. Venables and Dabo are back. Of course, they have an elite recruiting class, and they're at Notre Dame later in the season. But this is about the conference at ACC, and we see the schedule as well. Bear, anything stand out with you? You see there, you think there might be value as well as laying the $6?
I mean, I do, because you mentioned the Notre Dame game. If they were to, that's the only game I can see Clemson losing on that schedule, is the one in South Bend. That obviously does not affect their standing in the ACC Atlantic to get to the conference title game. You go to Florida State, but this is a team that Clemson has beaten, what, like 49-10 or 45-14. Now, the last couple of years have been blowouts. And while Norvell goes there, and you would think the Seminoles would be improved, are they going to improve 5 touchdowns worth in his first year? I don't know. I mean, since that loss at Syracuse a couple of years ago on that Friday night, you're looking at a team that's won, what, 22 straight ACC games by nearly 5 touchdowns. They have more wins by 5 touchdowns than they do wins by fewer than 14 points. So until further notice, this is the ACC. This is Clemson. Owns the ACC. I couldn't even guess as to who was going to come out of the Coastal. I'd want a heck of a lot better than 7-1 on North Carolina. I'd want a heck of a lot better on 9 or 10-1 on Miami. I think you lay the $6 with Clemson because they're going to get to the ACC championship game. They're going to be at least that big of a favorite in the game. And if you want to get off of it, maybe you just take the underdog on the money line and try and hedge a little bit if you want. But Clemson's really the only team in this league I can make a good case for.
Joe, I think we all kind of agree that Clemson's a consensus pick, but in terms of the money lines or futures, anything stand out with the ACC?
North Carolina for sure. I'd play over 8.5 on the win totals. I like that. I'd put a little bit on North Carolina at 7-1, although Bear lays out a great case. Clemson is head and shoulders above the rest of the class, but you got to like what Mac Brown did in year one on the job. This is a team that went 5-18 over the previous two seasons. He comes in and goes 7-6 in year one. They gave Clemson all they could handle early in the year, and they closed really strong. If you look at those final three games, it wasn't the who's who of competition, but they outscored those three opponents 152-30. 17 starters are back, including 10 on offense. And on offense last year, they were scoring what, like 33, 34 points a game? And then the kicker is the schedule. They don't have to worry about Clemson during the regular season. They don't have to worry about Florida State, although the Seminoles are in transition. The Hokies should be all right this year, but they do get Virginia Tech at home. So if there is a team to break out, I'd be looking more so at North Carolina than I would be at Miami. You got to remember something here. North Carolina went 7-6, and I'm sure Preston would touch on this. Those six losses all came by 7 or fewer points last year. So those are games that, like we talked about earlier with, what was it, Ole Miss or Arkansas, they could have gone either way. So UNC is a lot closer, I think, to breaking through than the last year's record indicates. I definitely play them over 8.5, maybe a little bit on them at 7-1 to win the conference.
Let's talk about the season win totals and take a look at all of them in the conference. No surprise, Clemson is the highest number at 11.5, so you need them to run the table at 12-0. You mentioned Miami, new quarterback, Virginia Tech, you thought would be a challenge. And Louisville, obviously a bounce-back season last year. Will they get to 8 wins? No Jamie Newman for Wake Forest. And at the bottom of the conference, hey, Georgia Tech played hard. They're no longer that signature run offense. Maybe they got a little frisky there. BC always around that neighborhood as well. Preston, Clemson, I think that's always a fun topic, 11.5. Basically, will they go undefeated? What stands out in your model?
So, I mean, Bear mentioned it. He thinks Notre Dame's really the only game they might lose. I think it's Florida State is in the mix. We wouldn't have said that about North Carolina. You mentioned it last year. We would have said, oh, we don't see Clemson losing that game, and they almost did. It came down to a 2-point conversion. So it's possible. When I look at it, though, the other 10 games, I project them out to be over a 3-touchdown favorite. So more often than not, they're going to win those 10. It comes down to at Florida State, where they'll be about a 2-touchdown underdog, or excuse me, 2-touchdown favorite. And then Notre Dame, I'm projecting now like -6.5 at Notre Dame, which is still like a pretty crazy high number. When you combine their probabilities, look, Clemson's going to win these two games, which we're saying are maybe the only two that they probably lose, 59% of the time. And so when you look at -120 at 11.5, you know, your break even point betting at -120, that price is 54.5%. And I'm saying, hey, they're going to win these two games 59% of the time. That would point towards the over. Now you throw in the other 10 games, there's a chance, right, a couple of percentage points here and there that they do drop a game that we're not expecting. It's possible Lawrence gets hurt. That changes everything. You never really know. So when it's all said and done, I think it's actually lined fairly. I would lean, though, to the over and actually betting undefeated season, though, before I would bet under 11.5.
Bear, what stands out? You mentioned the SEC is pretty tight. Anything stand out here?
Yeah, I thought of Wake Forest, their total of 7. I thought that was one that there's probably a good chance it will land on 7, but 8-4 to beat you. I've been a big Wake Forest fan the last couple of years. I've catched some overs on them the last couple of years, but no J.B. Newman. Kate Carney is gone. He was 3 or top 4 wide receivers. You got a game against Clemson you're going to lose. You got a game against Notre Dame you're probably going to lose. You've got to go to Florida State. You've got to go to Louisville. Like, if the favored scenario plays out in those 4 games, they'll lose those games and they have to win every other game for you to lose. And that means you got to win at Duke, got to beat Miami and a bunch of other NC State, some other games in the SEC. And I don't think this Clemson offense is going to be as prolific as it's been, even though the backup quarterback has gotten some run the last couple of years. But I think 7-5 is the most logical, but I could also see 6-6, and I certainly don't see 8-4 for Wake Forest this year. So I'd be looking under the 7 for Wake Forest.
Let's shift gears now to the Big Ten, much like we saw with the ACC. The favorite is a odds-on favorite. However, Ohio State -140 as opposed to the Clemson at -6. Bear, you're in terms of Ohio State, do you think there is actually value? I know you usually play dogs, but a value on a favorite here?
I do. I think that if you look at I'm curious to get Preston's take on their schedule, if it works out similar to Clemson, if he's gone that far to project out the Big Ten yet. But again, I see Ohio State with 2 games that they could lose. And one of them is potentially the game in Eugene at Oregon, which doesn't matter in terms of the Big Ten. And that's the game in State College where 2 years ago they needed a fourth quarter comeback to win. 2016, they did lose in State College. So I think that's the one. And I didn't mention Michigan. I think the gap talent-wise between Ohio State and Michigan, even with Ohio State losing Dobbins and losing Okuda, and losing Chase Young, I still think the gap is large. The game is in Columbus this year. I'd be surprised if Ohio State lost the game. It could. But again, I think Ohio State max loses one game, and I think most likely it's Penn State. So I would feel pretty darn good about Ohio State only having to lay the 140.
Joe, you think the Buckeyes, as do I, will win the conference, but tough to lay a 140. I would lay it, so I'm with Bear. What about you?
I go through the same thing with the same 3 teams every year when it comes to the Big Ten. I start with Ohio State, and I try to find a no reason. Like, give me a reason why they're not going to win, and they're just loaded. They're loaded. It's I could sit here all day and talk about years in which they should have stumbled. They're so well coached. They're so well managed. They're so well organized. They have so much talent coming through. They just find ways. So I always have to pump my brakes there. And then Michigan. Never been high on Michigan. Never been high on Harbaugh. I think Harbaugh's a good coach. I don't think he's a great coach. And I think at some point, it's going to catch up with him in Michigan where everyone thinks there's going to be this tipping point. I don't see it happening. I think we've already seen him maxed out with the Wolverines. So all that being said, it leads me right to Wisconsin at +550. It's not a team I'm going to love, but 9 guys are coming back on a defense that gave up just 16 points per game last year. And the schedule sets up really nice. They don't have to worry about Penn State. They don't have to worry about Ohio State. There are 2 key road games in there. Michigan early in the year. I think they're better than Michigan. I just mentioned that. And they got to worry about Minnesota, who's a home game. But at +550, given the schedule layout and what they've got coming back on D, I'd be willing to take a shot there if for some reason this is the year Ohio State stumbles.
Preston, what do you make of sort of that flat number of 11 and that win total for the Buckeyes?
I think so. I have them landing 11 wins at such a high frequency that it's not going to be worth a bet either way. I know that's kind of a cop out. I do have them winning 12 games and going undefeated more often than 10 or less. But guess what? That's why it's minus 140. So right. To even break even at that point, you're going to have to, they're going to have to win 12, you know, games. You know, it's like 58.3%. Now there's a ton of pushes in there on 11, which is where I'm at. I think they're going to probably lose one at most. So if I had to bet it, I would lean that way, kind of in the same situation as he is.
What is a Big Ten over under win total that you do like?
I like Nebraska quite a bit. That was the one that stood out to me. And I love playing against the team that everyone hyped up the year before. So now everyone's just forgetting that, hey, Nebraska, everyone thought was going to be good a year ago. Now the season win total is 6.5. I think they're at least a 7-win team. I have my projection at 7.1, early number. But I'd be surprised. And even last year, you look at their wins. I think it was 5 wins. But you look at their second order wins, which is kind of some luck adjusted win expectations based on their season and their stats after the fact. They were a 6.2 win team last year, second order. So they underachieved relative, you know, they were unlucky, so to speak. If they were already a 6 or 7 win team last year, now year 3 with Scott Frost and Adrian Martinez, I think they can make that push. And the schedule sets up really nicely where I actually think they're going to be 7-0 Halloween. They play, I think they go into Columbus to play Ohio State. That'll be a big game. Backloaded schedule is really tough. They could end up 7-5, but that's good enough to win this total. So I go over 6.5.
All right, good stuff, Bear. What about you?
I think if you look at Purdue, there probably weren't very many teams in the country that really suffered losses injury-wise like the Boilermakers did last year. And I think they're going to be better off this year because of all the adversity. You look at the schedule early on, I think the first 6 games, there's a really good chance that they're 5-1. In those first 6 games. That doesn't even factor in again home game against Northwestern, whom they should beat. You get Iowa and Wisconsin coming to West Lafayette later in the year. Minnesota, I think, will be a little bit down. It doesn't include a road game at Minnesota. So I would be very, very surprised if Jeff Rom's team did not win at least 6 games this year.
All right, my favorite play is Northwestern under 5.5. Feels a lot pretty high. Just – they're not going to run it back and all of a sudden become bowl eligible. That's my 2 cents on a team that will bring back some offense, but an offense that ranked near the end of the FBS in a lot of offensive categories. So 3 conferences in, we got 2 more to go. I just want to remind people who are maybe curious and unfamiliar with policies of sports books, they have to play all 12 games. So depending on the coronavirus pandemic, what happens with that, all tickets void unless we get the full 12 games on the schedules. But speaking of 12, we go to the Big 12. And some turnover here. No surprise, Oklahoma's going to reload a new quarterback. Will they have a number 1 overall pick yet again? We shall see in that. But not surprising, the Sooners are your favorites, given what Lincoln Riley has done in Norman. But Texas right there. Ellinger is back for the Longhorns. Okie State also bringing back some key offensive players. All right, Joe, I want to go with you because you're picking a team that has never even played in the Big 12 championship game. You expect them to win the conference.
Yeah, I'm going with Oklahoma State. I like them at 3-1. I like them on the over for the win total at 8.5. There's a lot about the team to get excited about. And overall, I don't think the Big 12 is going to be as daunting as we may have seen in the past. You can make a case for Texas. I'm not going to get 100% behind them. And I think Oklahoma, while there's some opportunity there with how they're priced on the win total, and we can get to that in a second, I think this is the team. Spencer Sanders stepped in last year and had a decent season as a redshirt freshman. He wasn't great by any stretch of the imagination, but that experience is going to come back huge for them. Hubbard's back at running back. The top wide receiving threat's back as well. You've got a lot of explosive playmakers coming back on this team. 3 of their 5 losses last year came by a combined 19 points. That was Texas, Texas Tech, and I believe Texas A&M. So not a great state or swing through the state of Texas. But ultimately, if they got to 8 last year with their wins and they were transitioning at quarterback and they had so many close losses, what can we expect this year? I think there's a reason Mike Gundy has been so outspoken about how this is going to be a season that college football plays. He got himself into a lot of hot water with those comments, but he's fired up, and rightfully so. He's got a lot of talent coming back. The schedule sets up nicely this year. All the way around, Oklahoma State's a team I've had my eye on for a while. I really like the over on the win total, and at 3-1, I would take a shot. This feels like the breakthrough year. I think Spencer Sanders is a guy to watch out for a quarterback.
All right, fair enough. Let's get into the win totals and Oklahoma being the favorite. They have the highest win total at 10. Now the over is plus $1.40 as we look at the rest of the slate. Jayhawks at 3.5 at the bottom, but a lot of those middle of the pack teams, Baylor, I'll get to in a sec.
The win total that I liked in the Big 12 was Kansas under the 3.5. I think we talked so positive. We were so optimistic about Kansas football last year with Les Miles. They nearly pulled the big upset against Texas. They pulled the big upset on that Friday night game against BC, and they won four games last year. Or three games last year, sorry. Right? Now they need to take another step forward and win four. And I just don't see it.
Yeah, and it's such a numbers game, as we talk about with college football, given the shorter schedule compared to the sports like basketball and hockey. One of my favorite plays in all of college football is Baylor under 8. And it has to do with the end of the schedule. The Bears closed the season with 8 games that they could lose all. Now, are they going to lose them all? Probably not, but they're all losable games. And they open against Ole Miss, the team we talked about earlier. So I just can't see 9 wins on this schedule. And that's what it would take to lose this bet. So under 8 for me is really enticing. Let's go to finally the Pac-12, the Conference of Champions, as Bill Walton and our Stanford Steve likes to say. The favorite, Oregon, will not have Justin Herbert, new quarterback, but they are the favorites to win the conference. USC right there as well. Clay Helton is back in Troy, and the Trojans are +250. Washington won this conference a couple years ago, you might remember. They're at 4-1. However, no more Chris Peterson with the Huskies. Joe, is there a team that sort of grabs your attention with value?
Yeah, California at 12-1. I love what Justin Wilcox has done there as the team's head coach. 5 wins to 7 wins to 8 wins. They just got their second bowl win, I believe it was, since 2009 this past season. He's moving them in the right direction, and he does it on defense. You could have 18 starters coming back total, 10 of which will be on the defensive side. And this might be the best defense in the conference. They gave up 22 points per game last year, which was fourth best. The thing that kills me with Cal, there's no home field advantage whatsoever. Like, if you go to Eugene, that's a tough game to win. If you go to Washington, that's a tough game to win. I've gone over to Cal a few times. It's a great place to go have mimosas and brunch as you work your way up the hill to Memorial Stadium, and it's a fun crowd. But ultimately, the place doesn't get very loud. It doesn't get very hostile. It doesn't bring to the table what a lot of these other environments bring, and that could sometimes be the factor, the swing factor in college football. It's tough to go to the Horseshoe and get a win. It's tough to go into Norman, Oklahoma, and take out the Sooners. You know, these are college kids. These aren't pros that are used to dealing with this as consistently as pros do over the course of how many years, especially in divisional games.
And Preston, as we wrap up the conference, you've sort of been quiet here on the Pac-12. Any number that grabs your attention?
You know, USC and Oregon are the two best teams in the Pac-12, but relative to the price, +250 USC, +200 Oregon, it just isn't value. And I'm not sure I can really buy on anyone else as possibly making a huge run. I think Stanford's interesting. I looked at my numbers for season win totals. I lean over 5.5. I also lean Oregon State under 5.5. I know they had a great year last year. Not sure they're just all of a sudden a bowl team, but they did get they're improved. I'll give them that, but I'm not sure they're going to win 6+ all of a sudden. Made a slightly homer play on UCLA over 5.5. I think maybe Chip Kelly in year 3 can at least get to 6 wins. And when it's all said and done, though, I have no prices that made sense when I went up and down the board as far as a future, and I made 3 small bets there on the season win totals. But other than that, I think it's pretty open, and actually there's probably going to be a lot of parity this season in the Pac-12, like there is every year just because the conference isn't very good.
All right. Power 5 best bets. Bear, you first.
I'm going to go with Purdue over. We detailed it before. Moore and Bell back in on offense. That should be improved. A ton of injury, bad luck last year. The way the schedule breaks down, I think in the West, Minnesota, you'll lose your coordinator to Penn State. I think it's unlikely the Gophers have their grade of a year again. As one of my earbuds falls out, sorry there. I think Purdue, I'd be very shocked if under Jeff Brom this year, they did not win 6 games.
Joe?
My best bet's got to be the Oklahoma State Cowboys over 8.5 season wins.
All right. Preston?
I'm going with a team that the Bear actually mentioned earlier. I have not yet, and that's Wake Forest under. Now, it's 6.5 now at Caesars. It was 7. It was +145. I mean, it was just such a bad number for me. I know it's opposite Doug. I know he likes the over. But I have this projected like 4.5 or 4.4. I know Bill Connolly, who wrote on our ESPN chalk piece covering the ACC, he said Wake Forest wins 8 games in his SP Plus projections 2% of the time, 8 games or more. So the 7 at plus money under was just such a great bet. So even at 6.5, though, I love it. They obviously lost Jimmy Newman to transfer to Georgia. And Sam Hartman, who did start 2 years ago before he got injured, has some reps under his belt. They just lost most of their weapons on the offensive side. And then their defense has been below average anyways. Their schedule, they have to play Appalachian State now out of conference, Notre Dame out of conference. They get Miami out of the Coastal, which isn't great, at Florida State, at NC State, and then they have at Louisville. Those are like three teams that if Wake Forest was home, maybe they would, you know, be pick or a slight favorite against. But now they get those three mid-tier Atlantic teams all on the road, and then they play Clemson at home. But who cares? They're going to lose to Clemson anyway. So for me, I just don't see them getting the 7-plus wins. So even at the 6.5, that's my favorite bet under.
All right, and to wrap things up, my favorite play is what we just talked about, Cal over 7 wins. Just to, you know, reiterate, love Justin Wilcox, had one of the better defenses in the country last year, lost some key players, but I expect him to reload. Garber's back, healthy, so key for the offense. The schedule doesn't have layups. That is a concern, but I don't see how the Bears only win 6 games for this to be a losing ticket. So I'll take Cal over 7 as my best bet as we recap them. So we have 3 overs. Okie State for Joe with over 8.5, Bears on over 5, and Preston as the under 6.5 for Wake Forest. Just a reminder.
Kicking is for losers.
All right. Thanks to everyone who listened to that. Again, we're all across all networks, across the country in all formats. We're just kind of getting by here. So a lot of smoke and mirrors to a certain extent until we get back to regular programming, both here on the podcast and also Daily Wager, and then obviously the sports world. So Travis, always good to connect. I know we're not doing it in person. Hopefully that will happen sooner than later, but I guess I should get your take, though, before we say goodbye. How do you feel about your Buckeyes? Odds-on favorite to win the Big Ten? I still think minus a -140 is good value, and I think Fields, understandably, is the co-Heisman favorite at 4-1 with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I don't see them. The schedule's not the best for them, but I just don't see, you know, Michigan, new quarterback. Like, I just don't see them stopping this team, especially on offense, the firepower that they're going to have, how they're going to be beaten in the Big Ten. So, yeah, I would take it.
Yeah, we mentioned the schedule on the podcast, but it is at Penn State in terms of in-conference play. And I even think they might be able to get there with one loss, assuming that they lose there and the Nittany Lions lose twice. But they also have to go at Oregon. So in terms of the national championship picture, maybe they stubbed their toe. I mean, we know they've lost some games here and there, namely at Happy Valley, but they are just loaded. Although no Dobbins this year, no Chase Young, but they do get – Fields back, who I think will be dynamic, 51 touchdowns total last year. But again, to your point, I think it's more of a deep Big Ten in terms of the middle of the pack, but the Buckeyes a class above. But a lot of time to talk about that. Again, Draft Props Podcast next week. We are targeting Monday morning, much more content from Daily Wager as well. Make sure you check out our Twitter feeds, and good luck betting those simulation games and everything else out there in the table tennis and iRacing world.